right, take two, although no one knows that yet. This is the Wait, What If podcast, March 21st, 2015. I'm sitting here across from the lovely Moses Mitzer. Say hello, Moses.
Hello.
The Wait, What If podcast is going to be a, I'm not exactly sure. I think over time it's going to develop into whatever it's going to develop into.
Right.
I started off with the idea, we were all sitting around the fire pit, and we just had these most bizarre conversations, just everyday people. I mean, you're an IT guy, IT security. Mm-hmm. I'm a PA. Adam's an ecologist. Forrest builds bridges. I mean, we're all just sitting around with all these weird backgrounds. And we started coming up with like almost this Lost type of scenario, like how we all got stuck here.
Oh, well, let's not go there. Yeah. Like, how do we end up on the island?
Exactly.
We all died.
It's like the island. So we all have these weird backgrounds. And I think we were talking about with the apocalypse, if it happened, what we would all do.
Yeah.
And we had these lists. And then we just kept going on to these conversations. I'm like, we got to record these. We got to get something down like that.
Right.
So my idea was just set up this podcast, invite some people over, try to blow our minds a little bit, completely chemical-free, except for this coffee I have right here. Whereas the fire pits are usually fueled by a little alcohol, which is completely fine. So, what else do I want to add in here? So, I guess we just start off with introducing you. So, how long have you been down in North Carolina?
We've been here about 7-8 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved up from South Florida.
Another Floridian.
Yeah, met my wife down there. We had a baby and decided Florida wasn't the place for us, so we just took a chance and moved up to North Carolina.
What didn't you like about Florida?
It was great when you're single. It mm-hmm. wasn't really family-based, so we're like, you know what? Let's just take a chance.
Were you near the Keys?
No, West Palm, Boca Raton area,
okay.
On the East Coast, like mm-hmm. southeast near Miami,
mm-hmm.
Fort Lauderdale. So it was great when you're single.
But yeah, I hear Miami. I hear Miami's a cool town.
Yeah.
I hear it's really... it's like the biggest party town.
You know what? Miami is fun, mm-hmm. but exactly. It's only if you're really good looking to go clubbing and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't usually like Miami when I lived in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I would go past it if I was going to Key West or something like that. It's really, I mean, if you're into the bling and you're into like going out until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and meeting just horrible people, mm-hmm. that's the place to go.
Yeah, I'm all about bling.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. It's like when everybody looks at your arm and sees what kind of watch you have,
yeah.
and what you're driving and what you're wearing.
That's so weird.
It is.
You wouldn't think about that with Miami. You would think more like New York, L.A.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like that. It's like...
The only thing I know about Miami is the drug cartels.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's how they get all the nice bling.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Cocaine Cowboys?
No, I didn't see that.
You got to check out that it's okay. A documentary. It's all about the cocaine people, the cocaine smugglers of the 80s.
Okay.
And the money they just rake in. And it's pretty good. It opened my eyes out to a lot of that stuff.
Nice.
I've only been down to Florida a few times. My parents spend a month every year down on the Keys. I used to fly missions down there at MacDill. I'm going to say it was MacDill. It was on the inside along okay. the...
Like the Panhandle area?
Yes.
On the West Coast?
No. That up there is
Tyndall. Were you like Bombay near NASA?
I don't know. No. It's near Tampa. That's right.
Okay.
Clearwater in Tampa, the more I think about it. Yeah, I flew down there once. We were throwing paratroopers out onto a runway. And normally we have like... a half hour, 45 minutes of flying around. Mm. And then we would get the aircraft all set up to drop troops out.
Right.
We'd go through a checklist. And we'd have all this time to do it. We get to the checklist. We get all configured. We're ready to go. Troops go out the back. We run a checklist again. We get out of there. We call it an evasive or escape maneuver. At that place, we had, I think it was Tampa, St. Pete. That's right near Tampa, right? St. Petersburg?
Yeah, I think so.
And we'd take off from the runway. And we had literally like 3 minutes to do a 30-minute mission, and we're running through checklists. We came literally as you're turning, you're configuring the aircraft, you're keeping it slow. The troops are already standing ready to go. And as you roll out flat or wings level, you're saying green light, the troops going out the back, and there's no room for error. And I hung a paratrooper up on this like 150-foot lighting for the airfield, and we landed. They said hung trooper, and I'm like, look, I can only do so much to get these guys on the ground.
Got there. It's up to him at that point.
It's like green light, red light. They had like 10 seconds to get out of the airplane, and people were still going after the red light. And I didn't realize how bad of a situation it was because he was hanging up there. And they're like, what do we do? If a gust of wind comes, it can pull them off. They ended up bringing these ladder trucks. And wow. I think they figured at some point, they're like, well, you know, we got to get them. So they ended up lowering the light down and putting a ladder truck up, and they got them down. But that was a little nerve-wracking. And the pilot that was with me was I was like, let's get out of here. I'm like, it's not our problem. I'm like, we told them how to get out. We told them where all the hazards are. And he's like, no, we got to stick around. I'm like, nope, those are thunderstorms. Let's get on the plane and get out of here. And we actually stuck around, and everything turned out okay. But
there you go.
The last thing I wanted was an investigation. So I figured how I'm going to set up this program. We'll start off with just kind of banter like we just did there.
Okay.
And then, let's see, we go into... stories, local stories that are going on, or not local, but top stories that are going on, but none of the crap that you see on network television.
Okay.
And so I have, and I think this is the cart right here to bring in the news. Not very newsy, I know.
Just keyboards going off.
Maybe the typewriter. All right. All right, so top stories. These are great. These are actual stories. I had to bring them up for you.
Okay.
So this one, baffled detectives in Oregon, or Oregon. I've been told you're supposed to say it.
Potato, patata.
Yeah. Oh, but they'll jump on you if you say it wrong. Yeah. I've been jumped on before. Searching for an entire home that has disappeared without a trace.
Sinkhole?
No. Brazen thieves stole the 1,200-square-foot home from its foundation, police say. But thankfully, the owners were not inside at the time. That's kind of cheesy line right there. Desperate leads for the bizarre case. How do they have no leads? County Sheriff Frank Skra held up a photo of the missing home at a press conference appeal.
I mean, it's got to be modular, but still, like, who...
No, they said it's not a modular, and it's not a trailer. We had a complete home stolen. This isn't a motorhome. This isn't a mobile home. This is a home, he said. What else did he say there? He asked if property was on wheels. They said no. It was on its foundation, so they actually picked it up off the foundation and took it. I don't know.
I mean, and this was, what was the course of time where this house was taken? Were just pipes sticking out of the ground.
Well,
or
the couple
like
wasn't
that,
home.
You know?
They don't have pictures. I'm looking.
It was aliens.
That's aliens. That's the first thing you think, right? Yeah. Except, why would aliens just steal a random
or the Russians
in Kalmuth County, or the Russians?
Yeah.
So that's story number one. You've probably heard it all over the news. Nope. Mm-mm. People are having houses stolen. You haven't even seen it on CBS. Next one I have. This is the best one. So British Airlines was turned around while heading into, I want to say it was Dubai. So all these people had their vacation. They were ready to go. They took off, and the plane had to be turned back. And when asked why, it was because someone dropped a gasser in the toilet.
What?
Apparently, let's see here. The pilot announced that the long-haul flight could not continue due to health and safety concerns.
Wow, nice.
Over a pungent odor emanating from the plane's toilet.
Wow, nice. I mean, it must have been like really bad where, you know, like closing the door and just sealing it off wouldn't have done it. You know?
Apparently not. British Airways flight to Dubai was forced to return to Heathrow Airport when a smelly... And this is quoted in here, and I want to say this is...
It was probably like World War Z, where they're putting up the suitcases and everything, and people are just trying to, like, you know, keep the people who are already infected on that side.
That's right. This is from the Telegraph, British Telegraph. British Airlines flight to Dubai was forced to return to Heathrow Airport when a smelly poo in the toilet became unbearable for passengers.
I mean, does that captain actually keep his job after that? You know, it's like,
do you think anyone saw the person come out and knew who it was?
I don't know.
He came out and sat down and just had a look on his face.
We've got one guy who works with us. He's a pretty heavy set guy. Mm-hmm. And you're in the bathroom and then he just goes into the stall and it's like an episode of 24. It's like time slows down and you know you've only got so much time to get out of there.
Some people don't care. They don't care.
No.
I can't. I have to be in my own home. I couldn't do that. I couldn't, not on an airplane. But 17 or whatever, 16 hours it probably takes to... No, it says it was a... it was 30 minutes into a seven-hour flight.
How far away were they? I mean...
30 minutes. So they had just taken off.
I mean...
Someone tweeted, insane, our BA flight to Dubai returned back to Heathrow because of a smelly poo in the toilet. 15 hours until next flight. So they also had to stay over.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait, do they have a picture here?
Of the poo? Oh, good.
Oops. Are we back?
No, not yet.
Okay, we're back live. We actually just had our first technicality. Moses pooed in the toilet. We had to shut down.
We had to turn around. Yeah, we actually had to remove the house and then move it somewhere else.
Unbelievable. All right, so that's our top two stories. Let's go with the third. This one's pretty wild. Let me try not to kick out our signal again here as I go through this. Nick Hess can get drunk on simply eating potato chips, which actually, I don't really like potato chips. I think I'd rather drink the beer or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But we all wish we were cheaper and easier to get drunk, at least most of us at least. However, one British man has revealed how he can get drunk by simply eating chips or mashed potatoes. He suffers from Otto Brewery syndrome, which means his stomach has an overgrowth of yeast. That just sounds... Imagine all yeasty breath sitting next to you. Ugh. Which turns out any carbohydrates he eats into alcohol. For years, Nick would wake up feeling sick, often suddenly feeling drunk after meals. His wife started searching in the house for bottles, convinced he was a severe alcoholic. I would imagine you would be an alcoholic if every time you eat that...
Yeah, exactly. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a problem, but...
That's crazy.
Just like potato chips.
Sometimes it would come on the course of a few days. Sometimes it was just, bam, I'm drunk. That's insane. Friends often thought he was drunk when no alcohol had passed his lips. And it wasn't until his wife filmed him acting wasted that he realized something, or that he realized something was wrong. While in the hospital and still under suspicion of being a closet alcoholic, Nick was fed a meal heavy with carbs and caused his blood alcohol level to shoot up to 120 milligrams per one. I don't know what that is. It's some sort of British equivalent, but got him drunk.
Wow. Just,
isn't that crazy?
That is, you know, I mean, you think it's like a good thing, but at the same time.
Yeah.
That would kind of suck. You know, you'd like to be able to set that boundary.
You could kill yourself eating spaghetti.
Beer's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's insane. I wonder if he could... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he's taking down a whole bag of chips tonight.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I wonder if you could throw up and then culture that yeast.
Okay,
make yourself like a home brewery.
No, let's not go there.
All right. That's it for our I guess, news part. And next, we're going to go into, it's my favorite part.
If popular culture has taught us anything, it is that someday mankind must face and destroy the growing robot nemesis.
Listen to the words, man. So what do you think? We're going to have a robot menace?
Space. Escape from top secret laboratories and even traveled back in time to destroy us.
Song of rules. All right, so you're in IT. Where'd you go to school for IT?
Actually, University of Phoenix.
Okay. Oh, really? You did online?
Mm-hmm.
What, that's, I guess,
well, I mean,
sense,
I went to, like, the trades for the actual certifications, like mm-hmm. for Cisco and everything else like that, like New Horizons, but that for my college degree.
So are you actually battling the Chinese right now?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. Like, so right now you're...
Oh, in Russia and Eastern European countries. Actually, Amazon is hitting us lately.
Amazon? Amazon, the store?
Yeah, the cloud service. Mm-hmm. They don't care who jumps on it and uses them as, an attack posture.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. And are you getting many people, like, Joe Schmo down the road that does this, or is it
not
all...
really? I mean, typically when we've had like a user who tries to hit us, it's you know, we had ones where we had like a college was hitting us,
mm-hmm.
and we called them, and they found like some computer either was infected or some college kid decided he was going to try something out, kind of deal. But typically, no. I mean, a single user doesn't usually have the bandwidth
mm-hmm.
or the processing power to do any kind of real damage.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they're just, like I said, like a kid just doing whatever, or there's something wrong with their PC where it's locked up in something and it's triggering our alerts.
Right. And we won't go into where you work, but we'll say it's a pretty big financial company. And you work, I don't even know, I just know it's some sort of cybersecurity, right?
Yeah, basically it's like regarding DDoS, distributed denial of service, and also higher level where the people are trying to brute force or trying to go through the back door and mm-hmm. try and get username, passwords, that sort of thing. And that's where I'm trying to stop.
Okay.
And that's what, you know, we have things called a WAF. Most of the time you're used to hearing about a regular firewall, which, you know, it's allow or deny, but it's pretty basic. It'll, you know, you can block an IP or you can allow certain things. It's got certain layers, but when you go into like people trying to go and do code into applications, it can't see that. So I work on something called a web application firewall, which works at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So it can look at that and then see kind of like SQL attacks, like somebody could put in a username and then put special characters in there, and depending on if you've got a vulnerability on your SQL server in the back that handles that username and password, you can actually get a list of username and passwords.
I have no idea what you're talking
okay.
about.
So,
have you ever heard the term? You ever watched on Reddit, or have you ever read Reddit?
Yes, I have.
All right, so they have a thing on there. It's called ELI5. It's a subreddit. It means explain it like I'm five.
Okay.
So I'm 5 years old.
Okay. So somebody is basically...
How about your house?
Okay. So, all right. So let's think about it like this. Firewall would be your door.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, you know, your door does a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it stops people from coming in, coming out. You know, you've also... but. Let's say somebody sneaks in through a window or something like that. So when you've got things that are a little bit more sophisticated, like you've got glass breakers, you've mm-hmm. got things, motion detectors, and it's a higher little bit higher technology. And, you know, or even a camera that'll, you know, you're capturing the data, you're capturing them going in, mm-hmm. and then you might not, you know, it might be an after the fact, but you can then go back to the logs. You can go back to the camera, and then you can see what happened, what they did,
oh, okay.
and identify them, and then do what you need to do.
Okay.
I mean, even if somebody, you know, locks out an account or somebody gets something triggered, if we have the point where we can identify it, block, you know, stop something on the account,
mm-hmm.
and then go back to the user, you know, and then fix it, and like whatever transactions, no worries, we got it, kind of deal.
Because if there's a situation, they could break into your house and you have a contact book that has everyone's contact information.
Exactly.
They're
going to
come in and take that. So there's way, like just getting into your account means they can get into a lot
right,
of
exactly.
accounts.
Right, exactly. Like let's say the bank. It's like, you know, they've got the door, they've got the, you know, they've got the vault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the door will help stop you from that. But once somebody gets inside the vault, then you're done. I mean, if somebody can get around it, it's mm-hmm. sort of like...
digging a tunnel?
Yeah, or just exactly, like getting around your front perimeter that can only do so much. I mean, the door can't adjust, it can't change. It only can do what it can do.
You hear, like, every now and then there's, you know, 10,000 social security numbers were leaked or 100 million credit cards. Well, maybe not that much, but you get these large numbers of stuff and we're like, all right, whatever. How long do you predict till there's just something major that someone just hits either a bank hard or, and we see it, we feel it versus just see it on a TV show. I mean, the news and maybe see a $100 transaction or even a $1,000 transaction on your credit card. When do we get hit like Pearl Harbor? And is it possible?
I don't know if it's quite possible because something of that magnitude would probably be seen before it got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the banks have certain safeguards in place. I mean, you could transfer, but the banks have deals with other banks and stuff like that. And you couldn't go to your local bank and withdraw like hundreds of millions of dollars
right.
at a time. So, I mean, There are some safeguards there, but I mean, at the point, I mean, the banks have so much money when you're talking about what you can do, it's pretty hard. I don't think it would be something along the lines of where somebody, it's going to be against the financial industry. I think an actual tax and taking down the internet kind of deal would
right.
be really what be devastating it to us now.
The more technologically advanced we get, the weaker, not weaker, but...
dependent.
I mean, yeah, you think about our great-grandfathers, probably, or maybe let's say great-great-grandfather. Let's say the great-great-grandfathers are the people that lived around here, the Tar Heels. It's because they walked around barefoot. They got tar on their heels.
Right.
As they, you know, as they progressed and got shoes and got, you know, whatever, you know, they mm-hmm. adapted to their new stuff. You take that away, you're screwed.
Right.
Now, you take away the comforts that we have here. You, like you said, take down the internet just because it's a new, not a new anymore, but it's something we've become comfortable with. We're screwed. Take out power.
Oh,
take out power. And I mean, right there, we've become so comfortable with ice cubes, with cold water, with heat, with, I mean.
I know. It's not like we've got a farm out back that we've been
exactly.
managing. Yeah. I mean, what do you do? I mean, mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing where you see those shows like Revolution and the mm-hmm. other ones where, like, you know, all the power is gone and people are trying to survive. It's like, you know, are we really ready? No, lots of people are going to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind
yeah.
of,
I mean, you have to put insulin in the refrigerator. If you don't have refrigeration,
right.
all your diabetics are gone.
Exactly.
If you don't have the ability to, I mean, your medical records will be gone. Your so financially, they're just trying to, I mean, do they make, so if someone breaks into, let's say China's trying to get into a large bank, what do they gain from it? If they're not stealing money, are they stealing?
That's the thing. You wouldn't have China so much as the government of China,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to just, you know, criminal organizations. I mean, there are a lot of things that go through because there's, you know, there's safeguards and stuff. I mean, that's why, like, Eastern European, Russia, you know, Brazil, that we get more hits with that than mm-hmm. we do necessarily. Like, China is more industry trade secrets kind of deal. I mean, for them, I mean, like, the public army,
sense.
I mean, it doesn't make sense for them. That's not the important thing for them. I mean...
So there's two... Well, there's probably more than two sides, but we're thinking you have the financial industry that people have their reasons for breaking into, and then we have infrastructure or militaries and what, but I don't think a military complex would benefit. A country wouldn't benefit in shutting us down because there's so much invested in this country and we have so much revenue that if you shut us down, we're going to hurt the big countries. Unless I guess you were a rogue group like ISIS or someone.
Well,
and
that's
they wanted
the thing.
To...
It's more of a statement than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got hit a couple of years ago by some company associated with you remember that video that that went on YouTube for where they were making fun of the Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah.
So,
that's the one with Clinton and Benghazi, that one
I forget, but there was a big ruckus and basically mm-hmm. they were making a statement. They were taking people down,
mm-hmm.
Banking institutions until YouTube removed the video.
Oh, okay.
And we got hit hard. And that was actually our first wake-up call to denial of service and everything else like that. Because
so it's basically terrorism. It's financial terrorism.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, they take down your website so customers can't get in. You know, it's one thing if your banking site is down for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when it's down for extended periods of time or always seems to be down, you lose confidence in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go to another financial industry that's always up.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, that hurt a lot. And it hurt a lot of banks. It wasn't just us. It was other financial institutions at the same time frame.
How well are we at predicting what's coming? Like... 10 years ago, could we predict where we would be? Were we able to predict where technology or what role technology plays in banking, and are we able to predict what's going to happen in 10 years with banking, and are we trying to safeguard that?
Banking is kind of, it's not really at the cusp of technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll go along with it, but it's not. You know, we're more, you know, we'll take what we know works and mm-hmm. go with that. But
you would think it should be because I mean, the whole basis of this country and society is collecting the, well, it used to be collecting pennies.
Right.
And just to keep it simple, the basic unit of money, I guess it would be the dollar. And now it's collecting ones and zeros. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just your money's binary. I rarely Bitcoins. Hold on to cash. Yeah, Bitcoins.
Yeah, I know.
But my paycheck goes directly into my banking account.
Right.
I pay with a debit card. It's just trading ones and zeros. And you get rid of all those ones and zeros, and what do you do? How do you trade for things? We don't have money anymore. At least we don't have, it's all funny money. It's all printed for the quantitative easing. And
I think also it means less now that it's not actually in our hands.
Yeah.
You know, when you got your paycheck and you cashed it and you mm-hmm. had a certain amount of money in your hands,
mm-hmm.
I think it meant more to us rather than, because you don't even think about when you go on Amazon.
Click buy.
And you're just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's like, I know I've got a certain amount of money. I'm good. Boom, mm-hmm. done.
Yeah, do people even balance their checkbooks anymore? It's automatically done with
exactly.
my bank. Yeah,
I just go on. Yeah, it's all there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have an idea and you got a good idea.
Which is great for industry, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
People are buying more.
Well, I think it's been fantastic for industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the thing. It's so easy. It's like when the credit cards first came out, it's the same sort of concept, but I think it's even one step further with that mm-hmm. because especially with PayPal and everything else like that, you don't have to get your credit card out and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah. It's click.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The easier they make it, the, you know.
And then of course, what comes along with that is fraud. I mean, and you know, with the
right.
first credit cards, jip, you get your hand on those numbers, you're good to go.
Well, that's actually one thing that's interesting. That we're actually close to the end of this year. It's going to become mandatory. You know, you've seen the Apple Pay, right?
Yeah.
Well, all the credit card readers are actually going to have to get to the point. Those ones that accept it
mm-hmm.
are ones that the thing with the Google Pay and the Apple Pay is what it does is it does a one-time password on top of your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So even if somebody grabbed that information, it's only usable that once.
Oh, okay.
So that's what's so good about it. And the credit
like
cards are actually going to have a chip. Exactly.
Okay.
Like, do you know what an RSA token is?
No idea.
Okay.
I know what a JR token is. JRR?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No. It's sort of like a revolving pin.
Okay.
And so let's say you've got this device that has this revolving pin
mm-hmm.
and there's a server that also has the exact same numbers that are revolving at the same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in your numbers at that time. It recognizes that those are the right numbers and it approves the deal. But a minute later, that number changes.
Okay.
And it changes on the server. So it's no longer good. If you put that number and gave it to the server, they'd say, no, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I've got here.
Well,
so,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. And that's the thing where even if somebody were to write down your credit card or take it, that's where that's going to help a lot. Because, I mean, actually, I think Europe's already doing this.
Really?
You know, we're back behind the times. And I think that comes down to, you know, the government had to kind of force everybody to say, hey, you got to update your systems, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just constantly, it's just getting more and more streamlined.
Well, yeah.
Everything's getting more and more. I mean, I read an article a few days ago that said the amount of technology or the advancement from 1900 to 2000, we've already seen from 2000 to 2010.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then it gets faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And between 2010 and 2020, we're going to see another century. Or actually, it was more than that. It was like 2020 to 2020. Wait, where are we? 10? 2010 to 2015. Wow, we've
yeah.
already done that. All right, so let's say yeah. 2015 and 2020, you're going to see another century. And then 2020, 2022 and a half,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see another. So, I mean, in the first quarter of a century of this century,
right.
you've already seen what you've seen in the whole, basically, Industrial Revolution.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, when you look back in history, I mean, things went pretty slow. I mean, we had the Bronze Age,
mm-hmm.
not the Iron Age. You know, it wasn't
thousands.
Like, you know, yeah, exactly. It was like,
thousands
you know, hundreds
years.
Of thousands of years between each different period of time, mm-hmm. you know, and it didn't go that much faster.
Well, have you ever heard the website Wait But Why?
Mm-mm.
Actually, I sent that AI article to you.
Yeah,
on
okay.
Wait But Why. So that's a great website that kind of goes over things like that. And they had one, and I don't know if I have it up here. They had one where they talk about, let's take your grandfather,
mm.
or I'm sorry, our great-grandparents. Most of them were born, if you take the average person in this neighborhood, in 1850.
Right.
1875, and you put him today, he'd be blown away. I mean, in 1875, 1850 to 1875, he might know what a light bulb is. He might know what a camera is. Mm-hmm. Might. He'd probably have seen it. And that kind of, okay, I get that. But the electricity to the point where we have it now, laptops, I mean, we're doing this podcast on a tablet. We're talking to people right now, reaching further than a radio tower could reach. In the sense of geographically, the second I'm done with this, you could download it in Dubai. Mm. Or here's the other thing that blows you away. You can listen to it in 30 years as if I'm doing it right now with no, you don't have to do anything about it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's no, it's just done.
It's pretty cool.
So I lost my train of thought. Oh, you take him and you bring him today and he'd just look around and you would see aircraft. He would see cars. He would just probably drop dead of just what the hell's going on. So you take him in 1850. Now you take his great-great-grandfather, so maybe 1750. Mm-hmm. That guy comes up and he's like, all right, I kind of see what's going on here. It's different. We're all dressed different. That light bulb thing's freaking me out, but I know what a candle is. So yeah, all right, I guess if you explain the light bulb thing, I'll get it. He's not going to drop dead. He'll just be kind of surprised at everything. Mm-hmm. Now you take that 17-year-old or 1750 guy and you bring him to his great-great-grandfather or... No, go back five generations, six generations. So you got a 1750 guy with a 1450 guy.
Right.
He might be blown away by, I don't know, the dress will be different.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, you know, maybe there's more people.
More people.
Like that,
firearms might be more prolific in the 1750s than they were in the 1400s. I mean, I don't know when they were invented, but the Chinese had them. So, okay. Now you take the guy from the 1400s and bring someone from 600 AD.
Right.
I mean, what's the difference? You're going from, you know, you're missing an Iron Age, you're missing things like that, but, or I don't even know when the Iron Age was. This shows my early ancient history. I have no idea.
No,
but you'll see a difference in maybe the swords and the culture, but really, he'll be like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not freaked out.
Right.
Now, this one will really blow your mind. Now, you take that guy from 600 AD and have him meet her, or the opposite way, have the guy from 6000 BC. Come to the guy from 600 AD and he'll be like, what happened? What's different?
Right.
All looks the same to me. I'm wearing sandals. He's wearing sandals. I'm kicking a rock around. My life sucks. I have to go and dig rocks until I die.
Exactly.
And so you're talking 6,600 years. No big deal.
Right.
Now, when I graduated college in 99, I had a cell phone that was, you know, we say the brick. It was the size of a brick. Mm-hmm. And if you took me then and put me now, I would be like, holy crap, what do you have? This laptop, it's a computer screen as thin as a notebook. And you can do what on that? You can, I can watch TV live. I can watch the NCAA tournament live just by hitting a button.
Well, we take our computers with us on our phones these days too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a phone. I mean, it's.
It's not a phone. I mean, who goes out and buy? I mean, I know people do. But people are more buying these peripheral devices like handhelds or smartphones and tablets versus buying a desktop anymore. Why would you have a desktop? I mean, they're more powerful, and you probably would know why you would need one. But someone like myself,
right?
I don't need that. I have it all right here at my fingertips.
No, you don't really need it. Maybe like if you play video games and stuff like that, you need something with a little bit more oomph, but that's about it.
And now we're going to go in the next 5 years, next 10 years. They say we won't, by 2040, we're not going to recognize the society we live in. And the only way to really think about that is if we look back, say, 30 years, we can say, we can only imagine with what we've seen. So we say in the next 30 years, okay, cell phones will be smaller. Maybe they'll do something else. But it doesn't go like that. It's an exponential growth. So the last 30 years of technology, I mean, we already said 10 years in 2000 has been 100 years of technology advancements in the 20th century. So if we look ahead 5 years, we're not on the same slope. We got to look up versus straight.
Right. Well, and look also like my smartwatch. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Google Glass. I mean, you know, self-driving cars. I think it's going to come to the point where the computer is going to be in the devices and everything around us kind of deal. Like there's, I think it was Philips that made a YouTube called Glass or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was really cool where, you know, just your Surface, like you see a Microsoft Surface.
Yeah.
Like, but everything was like that. Like the wall you know, everything had like kind of a computer. Everything was kind of a computer, but yeah. Like it was kind of like a daily thing. Like you go to your bathroom mirror and you're brushing your teeth. It's telling you about the news and everything else.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen something like that.
Yeah. It was pretty cool when I was, and you know, just your car kind mm-hmm. of deal. I mean, look, we've got sync in the car now and you know, if that comes onto the, you know, your MiFi or the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. My truck's a phone.
Right.
And it actually works better than my phone.
Yeah, it does.
There's computer systems. Yeah. I remember back in, I don't know, maybe 2005, 2004, I had a roommate when I was in the Air Force, and he had a WRX, mm-hmm. and he had this thing souped up. I mean, it was a fast car.
Right.
Which always surprised me. I mean, it was a four-cylinder, but this thing could haul. And in the passenger side, there was something under my feet. And I was like, what is this? And he said, oh, it's the CPU. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, that's the computer that... and he hooks his laptop in it, and he makes some adjustments, and he's adjusting the engine. And I was blown away by that.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
I'm sure they have an app for that. I'm right. sure you can sit there with an app in some of these phones and just, oh, I'm going to turn off the sports version. I'm going to put it on economical, or I'm going to get more horsepower by pressing this button.
Well, you know, they make an attachment for underneath your dash where you can do like the car checks.
Mm-mm. Like Yeah. So you can do that now with an app?
Yeah. It's just you get it on Amazon. Well, I've got it. You just put it. There's the slot. You put it in. It mm-hmm. connects to your phone, and you get all you can put in the car code or whatever that's happening, and it'll tell you what's going on.
But it has to be hooked up. Like if you had a old school stuff like a collapsed lifter or something in the engine mechanically that was going wrong.
Like a check engine, it'll give you a code kind of a deal, mm-hmm. and then you look up that code.
Okay.
And that's how, you know, but it would be the same thing going to the shop. It's the same thing that they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it might not tell you exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. Then you got to take it to the shop. But it might tell you something like, you know, fluids are low or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, like I can fix that without having to go to the shop kind of mm-hmm. deal. So.
And this is going to advance into medicine. It already is to some extent.
Yeah.
They're growing organs. People need organs. They're growing them.
From pigs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called matrix. They take the cell matrix off. They take your cells. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% on how they do this. I do family medicine, so I don't do anything really this in depth. But it's something about harvesting your stem cells to grow tissues that won't be rejected because it's your tissue.
Right.
The only thing that's there is the lattice work. Take a house, get rid of everything, and leave the frame. Everybody, you know, whether it's a storefront or a house, or a garage or something like that, it all has a 2x4 framework.
Right.
Same thing with humans and pigs. Use pigs as a perfect example.
Yeah.
Strip it down, it's the same framework. You exactly. just add your cells to it, and boom, you're putting your own.
Well, and that's the thing. If it's your body sees it as its own, it's not going to reject it. You don't have to take all that mm-hmm. you know, that kind of medication, and you know, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, and you can get to the point where it's like, hey, my heart's bad, let me just grow a new one. Boom, you're good for another 10, 15 years. My spleen's starting to go bad. I'll just grow a new one. I mean, it might even come to the point where you just grow a new body, throw your brain from one to the other. But that's the thing.
Yeah, I think we talked about this. Well, no, if you... Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like, you know, where does your conscious live?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that's me, but I'm over here, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you then... Are you like... a dual person? No, how does that work? Your consciousness lays behind your eyes. That's where we use it because that's where we see. It doesn't lie down in our big toe. If you ask someone, where's your soul lie? They'd be like, I don't know, right here somewhere.
Well, and that's the thing. It's sort of like, well, my synapses are going a certain way, so I'm registering. So what are you taking the electrical impulses and matching them over there? And then suddenly I'm over there.
But that's going to be the exact same you.
But
now you're getting into metaphysical.
Exactly.
Is your soul there? And, I don't know.
I know, right?
These are issues that are going to be coming up. These are going to be issues for our kids.
Right.
Because you're, how old is your daughter, 7, 8?
9.
9, yeah. Okay.
Now, so, did you do that core blood thing?
What is it?
The core blood?
Yeah.
We did.
I think we did. I mean, I think we donated it. We didn't save it. We didn't bank it for ourselves.
Yeah, we banked it.
Oh, really?
Just in case.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there might be a couple things now, but who knows down the road kind of deal. But, I mean,
again, there will be. I mean, they're going to be able to, stem cell research, if they can get past the ethical situations going on here. I mean, you're talking people walking again. You're talking kids with cystic fibrosis breathing again. You're talking just unbelievable amount of medical advancements with that. And then you get the
genetic modifications.
And, yeah, and yeah. Then where does your ethics stand? I mean, right. I can say...
Let's go blue eyes. And
And that's creepy. Yeah, Adam and I were talking about that earlier today. We were talking about the movie Gattaca.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, where do you draw the line? I think they just passed a bill, or there's been legislation on genetic splicing in humans. Should they regulate that? And I don't know what the answer is. You can easily say, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that in my society, but you don't have a child that can't breathe or...
But, you know, it's also country-specific. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known people who have gone over to Mexico for, you know, stem cell
kind of treatment. People go to Germany all the time for that.
Yeah, yeah. Or India, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And it's the kind of thing, it's like, you know, yeah, it's ethical and everything, but they're doing it and they're getting really good at it. Mm-hmm. So do we just wait for the results and then just go from there, or are we going to just behind the times kind of deal?
And that's where the, you know, where
I'm sure that the government's kind of like, you know, don't do this, and they're doing it on the background because, you know, they're building super soldiers or whatever. There's got to be something that, you know, do as I say, not as I do kind of deal.
You think they're working on... Ooh, I don't know if that came out.
That might not be, it might be a government-sponsored thing, not in the country. I'm just guessing here.
The religious right, I think, would crucify anyone that okayed that.
Well, but look at all the so torture and stuff like that went on in different countries. I mean, you can't go with a blind eye and just say we're the righteous, because you can't survive that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, yeah, you're going to have a couple of people like that, but there's going to be some people who's like, look, we've got to compete with this, and this. We've got to do it, you know.
Yeah.
We're just not going to let everybody know because, yeah, we've got the right wing that's just going to freak out on us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, and it's easy. You look at, what the Taliban did to the ancient Buddhist statues in Afghanistan. We say, how dare you? All right. And I agree. How dare you? That's right. Ridiculous. You're killing you're destroying a 5,000-year artifact. But then we turn. So they did it for religious reasons, and to them, I mean, having those up is just as bad as a Christian killing someone.
Right.
You know, that you have those, you're going to hell, and they believe that wholeheartedly. And then we turn and say, no, you can't do stem cell research. And Europe looks at us and say, how dare you? And then, it's all in where you are and your perspective of things.
Right.
And what the answer for that is, I have no idea.
Yeah.
You're right. I think private funding. I think.
I mean, it's kind of one of those probably this, you know, like $50,000 toilet bill kind of deal, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And I think if you're blind to technological advancements in human medicine or in whatever, in medicine in general, you're shooting yourself in the foot because you're just stunting possibility.
Well,
especially when you can end human suffering.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's sort of like, well, genetic engineering, we're talking about, we don't want like people to pick their own eye color and everything else like that. But if you could stop your child from having Down syndrome or something else like that, well, that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're genetically modifying that child so that they won't have this disease or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, where does he draw the line where you're like, oh, that's okay, but don't do anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Or, you know, we start, you know, down in the distant future, you know, we're colonizing other planets. Well, our bodies aren't accustomed to that. Do we modify our bodies?
I never thought of that. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, somebody was saying that if you go to Mars, you can never come back to Earth because of the gravity difference. You won't survive. And even when they go up into space, they've got to constantly exercise because they're atrophy. Our bodies are calibrated for Earth's gravity and all the effects of it. When you go to a different planet,
Like for so many years, you come back here, next you know it, it would be like going from being a 150-pound person on Monday and Tuesday, waking up as a, I don't know, is their gravity stronger or weaker?
It's weaker.
Okay.
Well, I saw, what was it, somebody had like give us a scale where put the map of the Earth on top of the planet, and you could see like most of North America and part of South America covering most of Mars to give you a perspective.
Okay.
So maybe like a third of Earth's size.
So it's small. I didn't realize it was small.
Yeah. And I didn't either. And that kind of put into good perspective there. But so you got to think of the planet, you know, and also I don't think it's got like a lead core. So that might add things. So it's like, these are the kind of things you have to kind of think of. Like, I think we could survive on it, mm-hmm. but I don't think we would be able to go back. Eventually, our bodies would change to adapt through generations and stuff like that. But, you know, would those people be suffering? We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and then it comes down to, yeah, do we modify would, to live in space? Do we modify?
Oh, that'd be like, to be Martian racism here.
Or, yeah, exactly. or even, you know, to be able to survive on Venus, like the chlorine clouds. And, you know, yeah. I think that's a little extreme, but.
Would you go?
No.
Well, take yourself out of where you were today.
If I could go and come back, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I look at it like.
If it was like visiting, mm-hmm. like going to Europe and coming back kind of deal, absolutely.
Have you seen Interstellar?
It sounds familiar.
Matthew McConaughey. It is a
no,
most
I haven't
recent.
Seen it. Yeah,
he
yeah.
used to. I used to.
I heard it was good, but I can't stand him.
He used to bug the hell out of me because he was in Hey There, what's going
exactly.
on? He was always in these stupid movies with chicks and well, chick flicks. And he's been making some badass movies lately. He made.
He still sounds like that though.
Yeah, he doesn't ever leave that. That
yeah. So,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, just talk with a little bit of a lisp. And
that's
just,
right.
I talk to my wife like this. I'm like, hey, it must work for Matthew McConaughey. That sounded like a horrible mix between him. No, nothing
okay.
does. A mix between Clinton and I don't know what other voice,
yeah.
Forrest Gump. So he has a chance to, it's like the future and the earth is burning up. There's like a plague that's killing all
right.
the foliage of everything. And he has a chance to go to, you know, it's completely realistic. There's a wormhole on the other side of Saturn,
yeah.
I think it is.
Uh-huh.
And they have a chance to go through
there.
And yeah. Oh, well, because... You got to see it. I don't want to give away
no,
too much.
No, it's okay. I probably won't see it.
Movie's badass. It's really
good. I know.
Good.
I probably... It's okay.
Do you like sci-fi?
I love sci-fi.
You
I
would just, like this movie.
I know. I heard it was good, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll have to be like when it's out regularly, and I just happen to be bored that day. But I'll probably catch it.
I watch these movies late at night. Everyone goes to bed. My wife's like, why are you staying up late? I'm like, because it's just quiet.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling me on the phone. No patients need
me. And I don't have you over there judging me.
Yeah. For watching sci-fi.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. No. Sometimes I have a change at midnight for, so it's op hours.
Oh, right.
So everybody goes to bed at 10. So that's, I'll usually like rent a movie or something like mm-hmm. that. Something nobody else will watch kind of mm-hmm. deal. So.
Oh, Interstellar. Check it out. It was 2000, last year, 2014.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I know.
So he goes. The whole idea is he has a family and he goes, and what they don't think about when they head out there, well, there's two things. One, gravitational pull changes time. Well, at least it's theory of relativity.
Right.
Time here, if you're up near something as dense as a black hole, your time is going to slow down.
Right.
And then he realizes they spend a few hours up there and he's missed his kids growing up. So you take things like that. If I was single, would I go to Mars? It's one of those things I probably would because
yeah.
You
heard about that company, right? That's
yeah.
sending people.
I've heard
over.
Some stuff about that.
I know.
I've heard it's been kind of BS that instead of 200,000 applicants, they really had 2,000 and the final applicants weren't really as, it was like a Skype interview. I heard it might just be a big marketing ploy. It's not really happening.
That's probably not a bad ploy to be honest with
yeah.
you. But yeah, I can see that. I was like, well, technology, the cost, I mean, that just seemed crazy to me.
Oh yeah, you're going to a different planet.
Yeah.
But to be the first human to set well, at least that we know of, to set foot on another planet. I mean, that's
Vikings were there first.
Yeah. Well, they you say that we know of because there's people that think you ever heard of panspermia? Kind of sounds
no.
odd. But you know, the whole theory of how we got here, there's a theory
that's Scientology.
Is it really? That
no, that's aliens.
DNA.
Their DNA or something
yeah,
like
via,
that.
Oh, you can go down the rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I do. This is what I do when I'm bored. There's people out there that think the human race, we like gold, we like shiny things, just what we do. We're mm-hmm. weird. We're little pink bald monkeys that like shiny things. Right. And we're like, why do we like this? There's a group of people out there, and I can't remember the name of it. There's
crazy.
Yeah. Well, is it crazy though? When you start thinking about all the world's religions, you're like, So these people think that there's a planet that I don't know if it goes through a wormhole or somehow it finds its way near our planet mm-hmm. once every, say, 1,000 years or something like that, or 5,000 years.
Right.
And this planet is in danger of destruction, except they're replacing their atmosphere with gold dust. So they genetically modified us to mine gold. And so the earliest humans 100,000 years ago started mining gold, and then our society built up. We still have that genetic predisposition for wanting shiny things.
I can see it. Yeah.
And when they come back, they're going to take all their gold and who knows what else with us. There's people that believe that. We got off on a huge tangent there.
Yeah, we did.
What I was going to get at is back to the technology thing in medical science and nanotechnology. You can actually inject little miniature robots. You can look at them.
Cancer mm-hmm. as well. I mean, if you can tell the bots to only go after, I mean, that's the thing. It's sort of like they try to do that with chemicals
mm-hmm.
so that they only go the genetic marker.
Yeah. And that's what it is. A chemical. I mean, when you're talking like a small molecule, it's just a little machine.
Right.
It's got moving parts. It fits in like a puzzle piece. And if you can clamp in it. So and I think you and I were talking about this. It was, let's say you replace just a little bit at a time. Or I was talking about it with someone. Let's say you have Alzheimer's or dementia when we're 70 years old,
right.
Which is 35 years from now, a little less, but still not that far away, but far away when it comes to technology, at least in technology advancements. And they say, you know what, we can put this little bit of chemical in you and it's going to regrow mechanically your neurons and we'll bring those memories back. Okay, do it. And then you go downhill a little bit more. They say, all right, let's inject a little bit more. At what point do you stop being you and you start being a machine? At what point?
They made that. It's called the Lawnmower Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, he was in the internet, wasn't he?
Eventually.
Oh, okay.
But they gave him the serum and he became smart anyway.
Well, it's
the same kind of concept where, do you go beyond that point?
I don't know. And it seems, and I always like the idea too, that from here we develop artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence becomes smarter than us. And naturally, artificial intelligence will replicate itself. It'll fix itself, mm-hmm. create machines, because an artificial intelligence, meaning it thinks on its own, needs to self-sustain. So it says we need electricity. So it starts to mine, And then it says, hey, do you know what? This place is getting old, we're taking off, and then eventually you make yourself through the seeable solar system, then you know what I mean. So you would think it's the natural next progression of evolution is that we become machines.
Right. Well, I mean, there's two schools of thought of that. I mean, do we become more like machines? Do we, more bionic, or do we, genetically modify kind of deal? I mean, If you could transfer your consciousness onto some kind of mechanical machine
mm-hmm.
and it worked and you were thinking out of there, then we'd probably go that route. But if that wasn't a possibility, I mean, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, how are they going to fix us in the future really is what it comes down to. Is mm-hmm. it going to be a mix of both where, we've got certain genetic modifications, we've got certain, metal. I mean, biology, or is it going to be like... We think of AIs as like metal machines, but
yeah, robots.
To say it's going to be like a biological AI.
Mm-hmm. Well, a robot is just something that carries AI. AI is already, Siri, AI, there's three types. There's narrow focused AI, and then there's general, and then there's the type that thinks for itself.
Right.
We haven't made whatever the second generation is yet. That's like AI that can think like a human.
Okay.
But narrow focused AI is all over the place. Your truck tells you your gas tank is empty mm-hmm. by turning on a light. That's artificial intelligence. It just told you.
Right.
You set an alarm on your phone. That's artificial intelligence. But once you start talking about getting to the human level, but it's going to be there. They're going to be able to, there's a test where you can ask questions, and I don't remember what it's called. You can tell if you're talking to a human or a robot.
Right.
Robots are really good at doing math. Robots, artificial intelligence is really good at doing math. They're terrible at walking. We can't get one to walk well.
Right.
They're terrible at judging if someone's happy, sad, confused. Only humans can do that. So will it happen? Maybe. But you're talking, I think closest they have is like some, I think it's in China. It's some... And it's the typical, it's a computer that sits in like a massive warehouse.
Right. Well, and it also comes down to emotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to be self-aware, you've got to be fearful. You've got, it's almost like, you know, how to explain it? It's like you can tell a robot that, you know, don't go by fire, you know, it's going to burn you and it's going to be like, okay, you know, but it's sort of like, but if it burns itself, is it going to learn? Does it fear that fire now? I mean, it comes down to, you know, we worry about AIs coming over and taking the world, but are they going to care? You know, you've got to have a want for destruction or blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, you've got to have emotions.
Well, if it can think for really... itself, then who knows if it would come up with that one.
Well, it's sort of like, well, and that's the sort of thing like self-preservation. If we could program it for self-preservation and if it figured that destroying humans would be the end all cause. But I mean, the chances of that, I mean...
Imagine living in your house, or you have your dream home over there, and you wake up in the morning, and you're like, oh, I have everything I need right here. I have my water, my fridge is full, or maybe you have a garden in the back, and there's these little pink things that just, they run around on your mm-hmm. floor, and they smell, and they're shooting at each
but
other,
that's an emotion,
and they're
though.
Ruining everything. Wouldn't you be like, those are, we got to get rid of those.
They're disgusting you, you know, kind of deal. It's sort of like it's an emotion, whereas, you know... It also, if it was the opposite and you had that house and there was the AI on the other side, he's not going to covet your house and want that.
But maybe he would if it meant self-preservation. So not covet, but decide it needed.
I know, but we're thinking of, I mean, that's the thing. You would have to give all the emotions, all the feelings. You know, who's to say that they wouldn't be like a sociopath kind of deal or something without emotion kind of deal. Like he could give them the intelligence and the, you know, to the point where we're at now, but would they really have the emotions? I mean, you know, like also our senses are how we experience the world. I think there's a lot to it than just, you know, AIs are going to get to a self, some, you know, intelligent point and they're going to just take over the world kind of deal. I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
I had that article. Let me pick up some of the things that they were yapping about. This is a long one. And they talk about the different types of intelligence, which level we're at. And yeah, maybe next time we'll go into this one here. But I don't know. And when you think about the exponential growth of technology would be the same as the exponential growth of AI. Let's say we don't have it now. Or let's say we have the beginnings of it now, which we do. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had it for 20 years, 30 years. Where are we going to have, or what are we going to have in the next 50 years? Who knows?
Right.
Maybe that'll be...
But also, if you've got like self-building machines that are continually improving on themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was another thing,
can you imagine
that?
Too. You wake up and something built something in your backyard. Well, like, damn artificial intelligence.
It's forcing its own evolution kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, we've almost been at this for an hour.
Or I know.
I think we start off a little weak. Might have to...
And that's what edit's for.
Yeah, that's what edit's for. Except I have... what's that called? GarageBand.
Okay.
But you can only do like 30 to 40 minutes on GarageBand. It cuts off a majority.
Oh, really?
I could do this in two parts. But yeah, I mean, we'll see where this goes. I started off with that, maybe going through the news. That's hard to wing.
I know, right?
Stuff.
it went pretty good.
But there's some crazy stuff out there if you read into it. I mean, who loses a house?
I know.
Is that a danger now I have to start thinking about?
Who turns a plane around because somebody dropped
isn't
a deuce?
That, isn't that crazy?
That's, oh, man. Yeah. I would be so upset.
You're trying to get... Everyone's
like,
looking at you.
You better stay in that door because I am going to take you out.
Everyone's looking at you like because they know you're the one. You're the one that just used the bathroom. Your picture's on the... Oh, well. But yeah, we'll have to get some of the other folks in on here. I'm going to get, it'll just be deep conversations, I think.
I think so, too. Well, I think it also depends on your subject matter as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you might also consider the Skype thing because, I mean, it's the same microphone concept.
I have folks, I'm using a dual, we'll talk about it after. All right, so now I'll give my, I'm trying to pick a good outro song instead of intro. And I was thinking we're going to try this one here. Nope. Did I get rid of it? Kind of mellow, though. Maybe we'll try this one.
That's fine. No, this is kind of like... Yeah, there you go.
If we have conversations like this and set it to some of this music, the DEA is going to show up at my house. Okay. There was no animals harmed in the broadcast that you just heard. Moses and I are not responsible for anything we said. There were no... We have a Twitter account. It's waitwhatifpodcast@twitter.com. Facebook, waitwhatifpodcast@facebook. I don't know exactly the address with that. Also, an email is waitwhatif@yahoo. Actually, it's waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. I believe that's it. This podcast will be on iTunes. And of course, just Google, or you just look up the Wait What If, and you'll see our stuff on there. And keep listening, because we're going to try to improve this, make it a little bit better, see if we can get more of a format, and whatever. Take care.